I want to thank everyone once more for being here, joining us in worship. I want to thank all our listeners who are out there joining us in worship through the recorded sermon. I want to also welcome the visitors who came to our church. Welcome to this time of worship. Before we start and we pray about the words, I do want to make a quick announcement about our daily scripture reading. In our bulletin, we have a daily scripture reading, and the bulletin, most of the reading are from the upper room. And I know that a lot of people are using the upper room in a very useful way to continue their devotions, but there are some who cannot do it. So we came up with an idea that we provide these daily devotions in your email inbox. If you go to our webpage and then you click under blog, you'll see an announcement, or you can also go on our first page and you'll see one of the sliders that says subscribe to our daily devotion. If you put your email and you subscribe to this list, every morning at 6 o'clock you'll receive an email that contains the Bible reading according to our bulletin and also a paragraph or two of my devotion. Whether or not you read my devotion, still I hope that you can read the Bible verse and use it as a way to be connected through God throughout this week. Let us have a time of prayer before we start and we dive into the word of our Lord. Let us all pray. Lord, we thank you for gathering us here once more. We ask that you will be with us as we listen to your words, and may the words be planted and seeded in our hearts, that the words will grow 30 times, 60 times, and 100 times, that our lives will be dedicated to you, and our lives will look more like you day by day. We ask that you'll be with me as I share your word, and may the meditation of my heart and the word of my mouth be only pleasing unto you, my Lord. We thank you and pray this all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we are talking about thanks and giving. And before we talk about Thanksgiving, I wanted to share something about my wife's name. My wife's name, Uri, is a translation. It is translated an expression that is translated into us or we. So there are many companies who actually took my wife's name and used it for their brand. And they're one of the banks that are actually named Uri Bank. And as a proof, this is their logo, Uri American Bank. They are a very big branch in Korea, but they also extended over here to the States. And whenever we see that, I always say, you should have claimed some copyright on your name. We should get some of their profits. This bank that does really well in Korea are having a hard time here in America. Why do you think, what is the problem of this name? It is not we call it contextualized. It might have a great meaning in Korea, but it doesn't have a great meaning over here in the States. Because who wants to worry about money? We are already surrounded by all these worries of this world. And money is something that we worry about the most. And who wants to go to a bank that adds on to their worries instead of relieving it? So therefore, you don't have to be guilty of not calling my wife's name Uri, because it's better than calling her worry. I'm sorry, I got it wrong. It's better not calling her worry, but rather calling her Kay. So that will be our way of introducing her name. But also I want to talk about the worry of money. Aren't we all worried by money? Isn't that something that is so embedded in our lives that we tend to forget that we're even worried about money? And being worried is something that the Lord does not want us to do. God does not want us to be worried by all these worldly things. God said that I will be with you. I will provide. Why are you in so much worrying? I'll talk about why we are in so much worrying, because the world gives us the worry. The world actually gives us the fear. The world keeps on talking about what will happen, what will happen, because we do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen when all these international relations start bursting out. We don't know when the refugees come into our community. We don't know. And because of we don't know, the world keeps on generating the fear on the basis that we do not know. But for us who are Christians, are we supposed to live and be driven by that fear? Absolutely not. Number one, because our kingdom is not here. Christians need to have a solid belief of what's going to happen after this. This lifetime that we see that everything seems to be so important, in the eyes of God, can be nothing. It says in Psalms, 1,000 days in your realm is like one day. And this day that we are here is so small compared to what we will be in the eternity with our Lord in His kingdom. So that's the first reason our focus should not only be in this world. Of course, by doing this so much, we can easily neglect the problems of the world, which we should not. But our all focus should be on what's going to happen when we meet our Lord face to face. And if we are living in that manner, if we are just focusing on what's going to happen when we see our Lord face to face, we can start to know that the worry that the world gives is not what something that God wants us to be bounded by. And Jesus even said, "Why are you worrying?" And let me tell you another reason, not besides the kingdom. Let me tell you another reason why you should not worry. And it's from Luke chapter 12. And Jesus says this. He said to his disciples, "And for you, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing." Now, let me stop here. If we are driven by the fear, our whole focus of life only becomes about food and our own welfare. But when we are freed from our fear, our life can then focus onto the real purpose of God. But what are we missing out when we are driven by that fear? We're missing out in the true purpose that God wants us to live and the true freedom that God wants us to enjoy and the true meaning of life that God wants to use us for God's mission. So he continues on saying, "Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to span of your life?" If God feeds the ravens, and if we do not have belief that God will still feed me and have confidence that God is going to make everything well, even though I do not worry, or even though I am not driven by that fear, if we do not have that belief, we might not even have the belief that we are the sons and daughters of God. And he continues on saying, "If then you are not able to do so small a thing," Jesus says it's a small thing, "as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat, and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nation of the world that strives after all these things. And it's about eating, it's about wearing, but somehow it's about worrying. For it is the nations of all the world that strives after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Why are we driven by this fear? And why are we not able to live according to God's purpose? It is a sad thing that happens to all God's people because they forgot about one thing. And that's what I'm trying to talk about. It's about thanksgiving. As I introduced last week, when we were talking about thanks, and I hope that you were faithful to your Thanksgiving journals, we did say something that both thanks and giving is something that is not, will not happen unless it is learned. I'll say it one more time. Both thanks and giving is not something that will happen if it is not learned or taught. Like we said, if my son receives a random act of generosity from you, he should definitely say thank you. But our human nature, somehow the little boy in us will not like to say thank you unless I teach him to do it. And we are supposed to have that thanks because thanks is an antidote of being bonded by the fear of the world. And at the same time, giving is another thing that has to be taught. We are not prone to give. We like to store more. We like to get more. We like to rather be on the end of receiving rather than giving. And if it's not taught to us, and we do not learn how to give, we will not be able to really thanksgive back to our Lord. But if we thanksgive back to the Lord, the thanksgiving, the act of thanksgiving, the act of worshiping our Lord actually frees us from all the fear and the bond that we have from this world. Then if we really want to live in this manner of being freed by these worrying, what do we need to do? We need to thanks and give. Thanking God has to be something that is embedded in our heart. That's the reason why I really hope that you start this practice of thanking God for what and how God had worked in your life daily. Instead of thanking God for all my family, all the things that I have, thank God in a specific way of how God has lived and worked in your life. The more intentional you become in thanking God, the more you will know how God is always with you. And with God being with you, you will have that strength and courage to live in this world fearless. And that is something that I would like to invite you to continue on in your prayers and your daily devotions as well. But now I do have to talk about giving. We have a tendency to store. We have a tendency to accumulate. We have a tendency to save. And I am not saying that saving is a bad thing. Saving is good. Saving is important. But if that saving ends up to be only that something for me and my own kingdom, what will happen when God takes you away from this world? It's like the parable that Jesus said. He was talking about a rich man who had crops and who had all these riches, who started to store, and the wealth that he accumulated was way more than he can store. So he actually renovated a barn and made it into a storage of all the things that he had. And he was laying down in bed and looking at all the structure and all the storage that he had, all the savings that he had. And he was thinking, oh, look at my life. What a great flight do I have. I stored up all the goods. And what should I do? And God says, I'll just take you to my kingdom and pull you out of your kingdom. And in that parable, he actually dies. And he becomes one of those most unwise, richest men in the world. We do need to save. But if that saving is only for our own needs and our own kingdom, what will that be in front of God? So God, in his principle, in his love, he needed to teach his people the way of giving. So we actually read from Deuteronomy chapter 16 of how this is working. Today, Deuteronomy 16 talks about the festival of the Jerusalems, the Israelites. Okay, here we go. The festivals of Jewish people, they have a cycle of training to give back. It starts with Passover, and I believe that you all know and remember what Passover is. Passover is when the Israelites were taken out of Egypt, and God tells them that you need to eat unleavened bread for 7 days, and on the day that you also get together and you'll talk about my mighty acts of how I had worked in your lives. And the Israelites are supposed to celebrate this Passover because this is when God had redeemed them from the Egyptian oppression. Then he goes to the next one, that is the Festival of the Weeks, which is the first fruit. And from 7 weeks after the Passover, this is where they come and they celebrate their first crop of barley. And they come in this festival that they give the first fruit unto God. And then, at the end of the year, the festival of the booth is opened. The festival of the booth is where all the Israelites come and they set up a booth. But it's more of a tent that they either set out on their balcony or they set out in the desert. And there's a specific regulation and the instruction of setting up this booth. What needs to happen of this booth is that you actually need to have an opening on the ceiling where you can see at least 3 stars. Why is this? Why did God instruct them to have this? Because God wanted them to remind themselves of the time that they were in the wilderness. By looking down and seeing in the ceiling that there's an opening and they have 3 stars, at least 3 stars to look at, they think of the time that they were in the wilderness, that the tabernacle of God was in the center, and they will move whenever God moves, and they will stop whenever God stops. And in those time of the wilderness, God still provided them with the promised land where they are coming to present all their crops and all their blessings throughout the year. The Festival of the Booths actually have a root of why we celebrate Thanksgiving. Why do we celebrate Thanksgiving? Just because it's a national holiday? Just because Abraham Lincoln made it a national holiday? That we observe Thanksgiving on the 4th Thursday of November? Just because that's a great time to get the family together, or it is just because it is a great time to open up our Christmas shopping? It should be more than that. It is actually in that biblical tradition and also this cultural tradition where this nation was trained and taught to thank and give back to our Lord. You might know better than I do, but there were 102 people who were on the Mayflower. They had traveled 117 days, and during their travel, 44 people died during the journey. They came and they met these Indians who taught them how to grow these crops. And in midst of all these difficulties, what happened? They were thankful. In the midst of all these crises, they were thankful. That they had enough crop to invite the whole community and celebrate this meal that went on for actually 3 days. And this is where it comes from. The Festival of Booths. All the festival that I had described have three things that God had commanded them to do. Number one, it was to rejoice. When they come, this was a commitment for all the Israelites to at least come 3 times of a year. Wherever they were, they have to come back to Jerusalem to participate in this festival. It was a lot of travel. It was a lot of giving. It was a lot of preparation, but God had commanded to do this in one manner. It was to rejoice. The next one that God asked them to do is to serve the poor. Because in this time of festival, when they were sharing all those meals, what they were supposed to do is they were supposed to invite their slaves, they were supposed to invite the foreigners, they were supposed to invite all the widows, they were supposed to invite all the orphans to come and sit as a table of community, share all the blessings that they have. And third, what it was not only to thank God with our vain words, it was actually to come and bring an offering to our Lord, because this is the first offering. And this is the first offering that we come back and we offer to our Lord in a way of giving thanks and giving our hearts. This is where thanksgiving comes from. And we need to recall this tradition of giving thanks. And we need to purposely learn how to give back. In the biblical meaning, that's why we come and give ourselves back to the Lord. That is why we offer our money. That is why the church talks about tithing. But in some ways, all the offerings and all the tithings and all the things that the church say that is a way of giving back to our Lord became a burden to many, 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 many Christians. And it's because we worry. Our eyes are focused onto this world instead of the kingdom. And I'm saying this with all my heart because we already collected your pledges. I'm not trying to guilt you and say, okay, add another zero onto your pledge. I'm saying this because this is an invitation to live according to God's purpose. And this is an invitation to live generously. And this is an invitation to live freely from the bonds of worrying about the world. I wanted to talk a little bit more about tithing, but the time had passed, and probably I will have to do it next year. But I'm going to keep on talking about it because I believe that this is a way that we can truly be freed from all our worries. If you start giving back as a response to your thanks and as a response of giving back to our Lord, you will see how God will free you from all the worries that you have of this world. And as a person who lives in the worry-free world, that is me, I do not fear of money at all. Of course, there are times when an invoice comes in and it's couple thousand dollars, and I do fear, but like I said, the joy overcomes all my fears. And the joy of knowing that Christ is with me invites me and opens a way for me to live in a different world. And this is something that I heard from Larry yesterday. Larry Dickinson actually evangelized me to this movie called Bridges of Spies. I don't know if you had saw this movie, but this movie is about a lawyer. His name is James Donovan. And he was to represent this Russian spy who was working in the territory of the United States. And then there was another spy, U.S. spy pilot, who was captured by the Russians. And James Donovan had to work as that bridge to negotiate an exchange of these two prisoners. Now, there's a lot of things to think about this movie, but there is one thing that Larry shared and intrigued me. Throughout this whole journey, the Russian spy was extremely calm. So James Donovan, Tom Hanks, who was playing James Donovan, asked him, "Why aren't you worried?" And then this Russian spy say, "Would it help if I worried?" And the calmness that this spy had actually intrigued and invited Tom Hanks to be in the same kind of worry-free calmness. What if our life, as we learn how to properly give thanks and giving to God, becomes that model of worry-free life because of the purpose that we have, because of the perspective that we have, because of our ideal of living in God's kingdom? And if we live in this world in that manner, and people will ask, how can you not be worried in this situation? What if our response would be, would it help to worry? And show them what life is like when we live in this financial freedom according to God's purpose. I think at least that is what the minimum of what we can do as Christians in this world to counter culture, this worry and fear-driven world. Because we know that our Lord is with us. I want to end with the famous verse from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. "Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." May all of us live in this manner of peace and thanksgiving, knowing that our Lord will guard our hearts and all that we do. And as you go out into this world, may you become a light to this world. We give thanks and glory to our Lord, and we ask you to live according to God's blessing. Let us have a time to pray. Lord, we do not want to live in worrying about our lives. We do not like to live bounded by the fear, but rather give us the courage and strength to live in this world worry-free, and also in the freedom to live for your purpose. If that is money that we fear and as we worry so much, Lord, may your Spirit come to us and teach us how to properly thanks and give to you, knowing that this will be an antidote of all the fears that we encounter. And as we live in this purpose, let us also be used in this world to share your freedom in the truth to the world that is so worried about all the things that happen in their lives. Use us as that symbol of hope. Use us as a light that shines your light in this world. We thank you for all you will do, and we pray this all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.